Leviticus 19. As we look in Leviticus 19, the theme of the book of Leviticus is holiness. And when I say holiness, I'm not referring to wallowing around the floor like you got your head cut off. Holy as unto the Lord, as in holy things, holy Bible, holy sanctuary, holy Savior, holy God. And the key verse as we look at it is chapter 19, verse 2. And that verse says this, speaking to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and saying to them, ye shall be holy. And it says, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. God says that ye shall be holy, not be ye holy. He says that in other places, but here he says, ye shall be holy. I'm reminded that as we look in the scripture, that title, and to underline this phrase, ye shall be holy. That's what I'm going to preach to you on tonight. Ye shall be holy. The key chapter to Leviticus is chapter 16. There are 27 chapters in this book, 859 words, 25,541 words. This particular book is a 10.6 grade level. And the reason being, you're introduced to a lot of multisyllable words. And one of them, if you look in verse 16 of this book, is the word talebearer. How about that one? They want to take that out of the modern Bibles, by the way. I wonder why. It don't fit the modern church at all. Yeah. I noticed that the author of this book, no shadow of a doubt in my mind, in your mind, is the Holy Spirit of God by inspiration. It's through Moses. No doubt about that. God inspired this book, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. You got to take that thing in context. And he inspired every word, and he preserved every word. He wrote all the words down by the hand of Moses. We've read in Leviticus twice over there where Moses wrote down every word. That tells me all the words are inspired, all the words are preserved. And we've got a completely preserved Bible here before us tonight. It was written somewhere around 1446 B.C., give or take a couple hours. Now, I might be wrong about that, but I ain't too far off, I don't think. But I noticed this, the areas that God gives us where we must be holy are found in Scripture, and I want to give them all to you tonight because I want to follow God's command and be holy. Now, if these lights go off, we're going to keep on going. Just in case I'm recording it with a device not hooked to the wall, that way we can still have the recording. So when it goes off and you scream like a little girl, you're still going to be on tape, okay? Just letting you know. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do love you tonight and thank you, God, for letting us be here and be alive. Lord, while we've got the great opportunity to come into your house and be with your church and be amongst the people here, we want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for providing this place, for getting us here safely tonight. For those that can't be with us due to sickness and different things, Lord, I pray you be with them and help them tonight. Lord, I pray you'd help us understand the scriptures tonight. According to Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We pray, God, that you'll move and do a great work and help us with that. Help me to preach tonight according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we look tonight at the command of being holy, and ye shall be holy, I'm reminded that if you look over Leviticus 20, verse 7, he says, sanctify yourselves therefore. And be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. You have a choice to set yourself apart for God to use you and be holy. And then God says you shall be holy. In 1 Peter, he says over there again, be ye holy, for the Lord your God am holy. And as we look at all those statements and we see that thing about being holy and you shall be holy, why don't you look at Romans chapter 8. Now, God's talking about his people. He says this, be ye holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Then he said in Leviticus 19, our key verse to this book, he says one simple thing, ye shall be holy, like it's going to happen. And I do believe this. I believe every word of the Bible. I really do. I believe that, listen, if it says Noah got drunk, I believe Noah got drunk. If it said Moses was putting a little basket and sent down the river, not a drop of water got on that baby, and he was drawn out of that water by the Pharaoh's daughter, I believe it happened just like that. I believe that when God told Joshua to march around that city and after they get around a seventh time to shout and the walls was coming down. He didn't say that it's going to fall down. He said it's coming down. And the archaeologist said that when they discovered Jericho over there, it looks like an unseen hand just pressed that thing straight down to the ground without the bricks even hardly breaking. That's God. And if he can do that, he's going to be able to do what I'm fixing to read you here. Look at verse 28 of Romans chapter 8 there. He says, "And we know why all things work together for good to them that love God." What kind of things? Well, all things. That's good things and bad things. And listen, I don't understand why half the things happen to me and you. I just know this, God's working. Somewhere in there, he's working. They all going to work out for the better, everything in there. And he says, to them who are the called according to what? His purpose. His purpose is that all men might get saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He tells that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. God wants to make sure that you understand he has a purpose in your life. It's not to get you saved, and that's all that matters. Churches that say that over and over produce carnal Christians that can't tell the difference between country music and gospel music. Come on. They can't tell the difference. They don't know what it is. Yeah. You say, well, the words are different. Not necessarily. Yeah. I've heard country singers get up and sing about grandma spitting back her and sitting on the porch and rocking. I've heard gospel singers sing about the same thing. They're so inclusive with their lyrics, you can't tell what they're talking about. There's a reason for that. The devil would love to blur the lines of things where you couldn't tell them apart.
Right.
There's a difference between secular and sacred. There is a difference. Now notice he says there, he said that all things work together. Now watch verse 29. I'm going to read this like a Calvinist first, okay? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be saved. That's how they read it. Because they correct the Bible when it don't agree with them, they correct it to go with their twisted theology. Watch what it really says. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son.
Right.
Now listen, in all these contemporary churches, there's a nasty little secret they're not telling y'all, and I'm going to tell you. I've been saying this for 25 years. I'm not going to shut up till the day I die, and I promise you, if I become one, you put me in a mental institution because I've went nuts.
Right.
And if you think we're going to become this down here, you'll do it over my dead body.
Right.
Now I've painted myself in the corner for years for a reason. I'm going to stay where I'm at.
Hey.
Listen to this. Every one of those churches is trying to say, you need to make them worldly where the people will come in, then you can get them saved. They call those seeker sensitive because those are Calvinists and they believe they'll draw the elect in with that garbage. That's not spiritual, that's fleshly. It's carnal, it's worldly, and it's of the devil. While these churches are saying, look how many we're reaching, the devil's saying, well, we really are reaching them, ain't we? The whole time. The whole time they're sending off money to a home office somewhere and they're letting them dictate to them. They're saying, boy, them Roman Catholics are in a mess. You're just like them.
Yep.
Except your Pope's Billy Graham or Phil Kidd or somebody. Listen to this. They can make fun. They can say what they want to, but they all have the same problem. They're every one of them a Calvinist because what they're doing is they're trying to say they're drawing in the elect. But listen, them cute little shorts wearing, breeches wearing, painted on jeans wearing people, and we're going to let the whores teach Sunday school. And says again, for whom he did what? Foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son.
Right.
Ye shall be holy, fits that verse.
Right.
But this modern outfit that does what I just told you and just described to you, they don't fit that.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm talking about? God said you shall be holy, not you might be holy.
Right.
He'll work in you and to you and through you to do his good pleasure. But he's not going to make you like the world.
Yep.
In fact, every time you go the way of the world, if you saved it all, God deals with you about that.
Yep. Right.
I'd preach on Mary Had a Little Lamb. God's dealing with you about being worldly. It's going to be like I'm preaching on everything you're doing. God forbid, listen, God forbid we was just to believe this book and say, that is what that Bible says right there. We're going to be conformed to the image of his son. Listen, it's hard to be conformed to the image of his son when you're trying to figure out what's wrong with everybody else and how you somehow or another are not in that sentence.
Yeah.
When you have to ask yourself, well, I have to do right, why does such and such, why do they get away with it? There's a reason why. Genesis chapter 3. Listen, everybody fell into sin right then, and now everybody's born into sin, and people, when they make them dumb mistakes like that over and over, they may still be in sin. The reason it bothers you at all is a Jew that lives inside you, and he don't like it.
That's right.
You ever wonder why when somebody says something about Jews it bothers you? It's not because of what you've been taught. It's because who's living inside you. He just happens to be a Jew, by the way. I don't believe every Jew's saved, by the way. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. God's turned his back on those people till the time of Jacob's trouble. Salvation's plan's open to the world, including the Jew and the Gentile both. He offered it to him and offered it to him. They turned him down. They turned down his son. They turned down his preachers. They turned down his prophets. And God said, fine, I'll deal with these Gentiles while y'all talk amongst yourselves.
Amen.
And he has.
That's right.
And for over 2,000 years, he's been conforming people to the image of his son. I heard one man say it this way. It says, if God uses the Holy Ghost to get in front of you and strip everything away from you that don't look like that Jew inside you, so when he gets done with you, you'll look more like him.
Right.
Wait a minute, man. Am I going to be a Jew with a beard? Sure you will. Even you women, how about that? That's how you can tell when people's listening or not. You say something about a woman growing a beard and they're all looking. Some of them look worried, though. Why you look worried? Why are you looking worried? Why are y'all looking worried? Listen to me. He said to be conformed to the image of his son. You know what his image is? It's one word. Holy. That's H-O-L-Y. But to get there, you got to be W-H-O-L-L-Y, committed to it.
That's right.
Listen, you got to be sanctified. You got to be in subjection, and you got to be in submission. There's three words you ought to study in your Bible and say, Lord, how can I do them things? Show me, Lord, I want to do them things. Yeah. See, listen, you got to be holy in these areas to be holy. Number one, you got to be holy in your person, inside, in your person. Say, well, I can't because I was born a sinner. That's why God provided Jesus Christ to tell you, you must be born again.
Right.
You must be born again. He said it three times in the Bible. John chapter 3, verse 3, verse 7, and 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, they let you know you must be born again.
Yep.
Say, well, I got saved. There's your first area right there. That's the starting point of ye shall be holy. Before you can ever start on the journey to be holy, you got to have somebody inside you that doesn't have everlasting life, but he has eternal life because he never had a beginning or an end. He comes and he takes up residence inside you. Now you can start on that holiness journey. So I like that, preacher. When do I get to swing on the chandeliers? Anytime you want. Go ahead. Start right now. Oh, that's right. We ain't got none. There's two reasons why we ain't got none. When we was putting lights in, we couldn't afford them. Nobody here knew how to spell it to order it from up there at Lowe's. So that's why we ain't got none. Okay.
Right.
But anyway, as you look in Scripture, we see that the first part is to be holy in your person, holy from the inside out, not the outside in. What the problem people run into is they try to take holiness this way, and it comes this way. See, that's why God didn't give you a spirit. He gave you the Holy Spirit where you could be holy. He sealed you into the day of redemption by his Holy Spirit so you could be holy. Second area we got here in our life is you must be holy in your practice. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Look down at verse 17. This deals with the fact of what you do is so you can be ye holy in your practice. He says in verse 17 of Colossians chapter 3, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So that means when you're pumping gas, be ye holy. That means when you're driving down the road, be ye holy in your practice, what you're doing, what you're literally doing, how you're moving forward in life, moving, going from one place to another, how you handle your job. I preached this one time in here, and there was a guy ordered 15 tapes. I asked him, 15 tapes and cassette tapes? He said, yeah, I got 14 coworkers that need to hear this. I said, who's the 15th for? He said, my mother-in-law. I said, Does she work with you? He said, she's my boss. He said, she really needs it. I thought, Lord have mercy. He probably got fired right after that. Boy, they heard the truth that day. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in your practice. Listen, set out every day asking God to fill you with His Spirit, that He may have control of your life, that He may, listen, that He may give all them elements of the fruit of the Spirit, the ones that go inward, the ones that go outward, and the ones that go upward to you to be able to use to help out somebody else. God can still do that. He wants to do that, and He wants to do it through a vessel He'll call holy when He gets done with you. Number three area, if you look over to Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, listen to this one. Be holy in your place. Be holy in your place. So what's my place? I'm fixing to show you. Hebrews chapter 10. Be holy in your place. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Where you do that at? A place. A house of God. That's what he's talking about. And it says there, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Well, I notice this. We so much more see that day coming, don't we?
That's right.
I mean, every day it gets closer.
Yep.
And I want to do this. Unless I'm too sick to walk in them doors, I want to come in here and exhort somebody to live for Jesus just one more day, just yeah. one more week, just one more month, just one more year, just one more lifetime. Why? Because I want to see them be holy. I want to see you be holy. I want to see you do something for Jesus. I want to see God use you for who you are and not to be a clone of somebody else. But you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God bless you. Listen, sanctify, submit, and subject yourself unto the Holy Ghost, that He may get you and use you so you may be holy in your place. And that covers what I'm talking about, the church house. Do you know what these people around here, oh, we don't have to have a building and have a church, never have read 1 Timothy 3 a day in their life.
Yeah.
You know what he says over there? He gave that thing about pastors and deacons for what? For the building and ground of the truth, the very place where the church meets at. While the building's not the church, the people are, and we get together and we assemble.
Yep.
That didn't listen. 95% of all Hollywood movie plots and things in movies are stole right straight out of the Bible without them giving any footnote about it. And then they say, oh, well, such and such stole that out of my film. You've been stealing off us for years. So I don't believe that. Avengers assemble. Just saying. That come from somewhere.
Right.
Somebody got mad at Jimmy Robbins years ago. You know what he said? That he started a worship service. He is so excited. He said, let's get it. Somebody said, well, that just offends me. I said, you know what you need to do? I said, what? I said, go over and apologize to Jimmy Robbins for talking about the man of God. They said, what? Yeah. Just because he don't do it like you do it don't mean he's doing it wrong. I've been in some places I want to say, let's get it and go that way. I understand. But I do know this. I don't care how you start it. I don't care what you do while you're doing it, but do it and get together and do it. Maybe we ought to say, let's get it one day, see if that person's still around somewhere. See if that devil's still in somebody around here. Oh, that offends me. Then you don't love the Bible. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So why is America so offended? They hate the Bible.
Really?
That's why they're so offended. Look at this. We got to be holy in our place. You know what we don't come here for? We don't come here looking to have an adulterous affair with another man's wife. That ain't why we show up here.
Right.
I ain't here to pick up your old lady. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
I'm glad when preachers have a backbone and throw people out of church for doing foolishness like that. Amen and amen.
Amen.
And listen, let me tell you something. We're not here to come in here and start fights and start trouble and try to start a fight in the parking lot and all that either. We're here to worship God Almighty and assemble together to do that. Now, if you want to fight, go out there in the road. Fair enough, ain't it? If you're going to be an idiot, you ought to do it right there on that yellow line. That way you'd have half and half a chance of making it to the next day with your little fighting at church. Ain't that a sight? Let me tell you something. They wouldn't know our name, but you throw a punch at him, they'll know our name on the newspaper tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That'll get around quicker than what Biden did in office yesterday. If he don't remember it, the rest of us do, though.
Yeah.
Listen to this, and be holy in your parenting. Look over to Ephesians chapter 6. Be holy in your parenting. I've heard parents say the dumbest things since I've been pastoring church. I swear I have. I heard them say the dumbest things. And they're getting dumber every day. I think the problem with parents is, and this is my own opinion, and I think I'm right about it. If I'm not right about it, you pray for me and I get right about it. But I think the problem we got with parenting today is a lack of it.
Right.
We're trying to be our children's buddies instead of their parents.
Right.
You got to be mom and daddy.
Right.
We can't have you ladies, listen, if you was raised a fat little chunky girl and your daughter's a nice looking little slim girl, you can't be living vicariously through that child.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get her in a mess. You might have wanted that mess and couldn't get into it, but you're going to shove her into something because now they got things that Billy Graham, Ajax, and Benny Hinn can't get off people, if you know what I'm saying. If you children don't understand that, you ask your parents later. Amen. That's when that stuff be discussed at home. Now watch this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Be holy in your parenting. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm going to run this by you and let it help you out. You are not to tell your parent, you're not to say things to your kids just to make them mad.
That's right.
You're to correct them with the scripture and then correct them with the rod of correction, as it were, called a belt. And if you keep letting them get by without consequences, later on, the pastor's them sitting right there with the bald head on.
Yep.
That's going to be their pastor. Because they're going to wind up in the joint, or they're going to wind up with Mr. Blakely.
Yep.
Because what we have in America is people who don't want to parent their children, don't want to correct them, they want to threaten them, and then never bring consequences for their actions, and they know they can get by with anything.
You're right.
But the backside of that is we got a bunch of people that don't want to parent their kids. They'd rather send them off to Aunt Judy's or somewhere and send them off over here to Aunt Mary's or wherever they got to send them or go off with them. You get away from me because they aggravate you to death because you won't do right and they just keep pestering you till they get what they want.
Yep.
Somebody asked me, so when you was growing up, was it like that? I said, no, it wasn't like that at all. We had a game we played. It's called Shut Your Mouth or Else. And that didn't matter where I was at. We played that game.
Yeah.
You did right or else. And nowadays, we can't get else out of nobody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to count to three. And if you don't do right, one, two, two and a half, two and three quarter. And I'm sitting there going, three, 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 three. And nobody does nothing. I cancel cable, I just go sit at Walmart on the bench up there and watch them. Or stand around near the toys. They'll throw them in the... But you can't have that. But no. All right, well, you can have this one. Next thing, here, give another one. And they fussing all the way to register, but they won't do nothing about it.
Yep.
Nothing. They need to buy Ajax and dishwashing detergent and get some Gain, but instead they had to buy a new toy. Now they got money for the other one. Now they're going outside on their cell phone, complaining to whoever it is they call, saying, I couldn't get nothing for them in here. My parents never had that problem.
Yeah.
You know that thing where they set you in a buggy? When I got a little bit older and I still act up, they set you in the front of it and dump groceries on you while you're in there.
Come on.
They didn't play that stuff.
Right.
Either you did right or you got your butt whipped and you got put in that buggy. When you're 10 years old having riding a buggy and you're a fat little kid, that ain't funny no more. You kind of learn to keep that trap shut. Yes, sir. No, sir.
Come on.
Unless you want to see your friends get you riding around a buggy. I was 12 and I saw one of my friends in a buggy sitting there with his head down. I said, I see you.
Uh-oh.
Somebody told me the other day, that's cruel. Really? I think it's cruel when you spend your grocery money on a spoiled child to get something else they don't need, they ain't going to play with no more than 10 minutes.
Yep.
And then you want to complain about that. Be holy in your parenting. Do right by your child. Do by them how God does by you. It works.
That's right.
Listen, old-fashioned parenting still works in this world. Now look at this one. Another area we need to be holy in. Look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37. We're building off the phrase, ye shall be holy, and ye shall be holy. God will make sure of it. He said, ye shall, meaning he's going to step in there, and he's going to start working on you, and he's going to work on you so you'll be holy. These areas are all what we got to sit there and submit, subject, and sanctify ourselves to as God works in us. You're holy in your, you got to be holy in your person, practice, place, parenting. And Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. You got to be ye holy in your planning. There's a thing where Jesus says in Luke chapter 18, I believe it is, where he says, you got to count the cost before you build. A man that don't count the cost before he builds, you know what he winds up with? He winds up with a building half finished and he's got no money to complete the thing. Yeah. If he gets it that far. And the reason that stuff happens is because people are so used to acting without thinking, and even worse, they act without praying about what to do. I've read about George Mueller most of my Christian life, either some quote or some book about him, or him teaching how to pray and so forth like that. But one thing he always did was, before he did anything, he prayed and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, do you want me to go do this? Lord, do you want me to do this? Lord, you know I have this need. Lord, you know I know this. And he'd read the scriptures and he'd see that God would say something contrary to what he prayed for, and he'd stop and apologize for it and start praying according to that. Next thing you know, it's on his doorstep. The man ran an orphanage with thousands of kids there. There was no GoFundMe page for it. There was no PayPal. There was no debit cards. There was no checks coming in for monthly support. But there was a man there that would pray and say, God, you know I have this need. These children have to eat. They have to have clothes. They have to have shoes. And God would send that stuff. More than once in those diaries of his, if you go read his journals, more than once while he is praying, he'd hear a wagon pull up. With everything on the wagon, he just got through telling God about. It's like God already knew it was sending it, and then he'd start praying for it, and God showed up right as he got through praying. So how'd he do that? He walked with God. God still does that. Amen. Now watch this. He uses the most unusual people and unusual means to get it done, but he gets it done. Yep. I get missionary letters. I get these little digital letters sometimes. Sometimes I get physical letters. Please pray for this. I've had them, when I've called them on the phone, tell me, you'll never believe what just happened. And I was calling to tell them what kind of list of stuff you need. They call and say, I just had me on the phone, sent me everything I needed. Well, that's great, brother. Who done it? Never heard of the guy. What was God doing? Meeting needs. You got to be holy in your planning. Do I need to go here? Do I need to go here? Should I do this, Lord? Should I do that? And whatever goes contrary to the scripture, God don't want you to do that. But he does want you to find out specifically from him what you need to do. And here's a crazy thing. God would never have you to go in a place where you know you're going to sin. He wouldn't have you do that. Watch this one. You got to be holy in your planning. This is for you preachers. You got to be holy in your preaching. You already know the verse. It goes like this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. What's the first three words?
Preach the word.
So how are you going to do that? You're going to be holy. Preach the word. What kind of word? A holy word. From your Holy Father, by the Holy Spirit, to reach out and help the holy brethren so they may live holy. To reach out to that ungodly sinner that they may hear it and be converted and become a holy brethren. Yep. That word holy brethren, that phrase is in the Bible. It's amazing how it shows up there. People say, well, I ain't no saint, but I believe in the man upstairs. Well, you either a saint or you a sinner. And saint don't mean you sinless. That means you belong to God.
Right.
That means you one of his. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Mm-hmm. See, when that Roman Catholic Church goes to handing out sainthood, they do it after you die. They got it backwards. God gives it to you when you get saved, before you die. Mm-hmm. That's how it's precious in the Lord is the death of his saints. They already saints. We ain't got to wait on no Pope wearing a dress, wanting to be called Father and dressing up like Mama to tell us, well, I believe that one's a saint. Fooey on that. That's ungodly. Right. Listen, God says we're a saint when he saves us.
Right.
God says, them people, ye shall be holy. Be ye holy. Why? Because there's somebody inside you. He's the holy Son of God. The Spirit of God has attached himself to you and sealed himself to you to the day of redemption. You're always going to have that. He's always going to be there. And listen, so you can be holy. And when I say that you be ye holy in your preaching, preach what the Bible says. I don't care if the world don't like it or they don't shout and jump and run the aisles. I've heard people say, I like to watch him preach. I don't like to watch nobody preach. Number one, I have no affection for any man's look. Say amen right there.
Amen.
I don't care what you look like. You all ugly to me. I don't find no pretty men. I ain't never going to see one either. I'm going to tell you that. But I know this. I want to hear what you got to say. I've heard them get up and scream to the top of their lungs and shout and run around the pulpit and say some great things. And I've heard them sit still and barely where you could, they'd have to turn the microphone up where you could hear them, and they'd say some great things. That's what I want to hear what they got to say. Because all the entertainment in the world won't matter if they're talking wrong.
Right.
If they're preaching heresy, it don't matter what kind of heresy it is. It may be entertaining heresy, but it's still heresy.
That's right.
Be holy in that preaching. Preach what the master bids you to preach. Preach the word and do it this way. Be instant in season. Oh, it's easy to preach and everybody's doing good and there's no tragedies. Everybody's smiling. Everybody's happy. But then you got to be it out of season. Say, when's that? When you got to stand up there in front of a funeral and there's about 80% of the people there that don't like you and you still got to preach. Be like Ezekiel. Have that old hard head of yours hit that hard head of theirs and let the sparks fly upward while the word goes to flowing. Amen.
Hey.
God still can.
Right.
And if you don't think God have you preach in front of a bunch of liberals, you study the life of Peter. You talking about stand up and preaching? He pointed at them and accused them of what they were doing. Stephen said, ye killed the Lord Jesus to the Jews. Apostle Paul got up and preached. They tried to stone him to death and leave him for dead. God will put you in places to preach where it ain't your crowd. You'll be the away team. You know what I'm saying? And might I say this, the whole time we're on this side of the grave, we're still the away team right now. Our home somewhere else. So who's going to preach when we get there? Jesus is, and you'll love it. It'll be better. Listen, the big preacher will really be preaching there. How about that? And by the way, I got a real problem. People says, well, the big preacher showed up and we didn't even have preaching day. You lied. You know, when you study the Bible, you know what you find out? You know who tries to strangle out the word? It ain't the Holy Spirit.
Right.
It's always devils. So how can you identify them? Preacher, I got something to say and it has nothing to do with God, the Bible, nothing, and it'll magically shut off at 5 to 12. That's how you know who's running the show. You know what I think? Testify to 10 o'clock. I don't care. Testify to 12 o'clock. You get done, I'll preach, or I'll preach and we'll testify 2 hours. I don't care. But I believe this. If God's giving me a message, ain't no need me not preaching, especially if the Holy Ghost is moving like that.
That's right.
Now, before you write into me, and let me look right at you in the camera here. Listen to this. Before you get behind your warrior keyboard there and tell me, I just don't understand the deep things of God. I just told you in the Bible who choked the word out, and you ain't figured out where that's at yet. It's in the Scripture, and Jesus said it. You need to get acquainted with him. You need to get in this book and find out about him and quit listening to your religious catchphrases. I don't care what denomination, what flavor you claim you are, anything else. I don't care if you're chocolate, vanilla, or strawberry. You in a mess if you believe all that. You in a spiritual mess. Get your heart right with God. And that goes for anybody sitting here who believes that stuff too. One last thing. Look over at Jude, book of Jude. Next to last book of the Bible, book of Jude. It says, preacher, I'm mad. You know why you mad? Because the big preacher did show up today and it ain't me. Jude, verse 20. Jude verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Oh, my, there's that word again. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. He talks about holy faith, but you need to be holy in your praying to keep that up. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. But you build your faith up and you pray in the Holy Ghost. You know what that's called? That's called holy praying. And you got to be holy in your praying. The reason being, that's the only way to pray. That's not jibber-jabbering in some language you pretend to speak. That's talking to God every day and talking in the person of the Holy Ghost and having Him take what you say and deliver it right to the throne room of God. Amen. When you do that and you pray in the Holy Ghost, Romans chapter 8, was looking at a while ago, verse 26 and 27, tells us we don't even know how to pray for as we ought. But dear friend, if you'll take the time to pray and pray like you're supposed to, confess your sins, adore God, thank Him, and then pray for what you're supposed to, He'll take that thing and do with it exactly what's supposed to be done. And you taking the time to pray, not knowing what you should pray for half the time, He takes the time to pray right beside you, and He knows exactly what to pray for. How about this? Say some of you got saved because some people's that praying for you to get out of your backslid condition. You up backslid, you never upslid. But while you was praying what you knew, guess who else is praying? He is seeing right through that person, which is you, and said, Lord, they don't know it, but while they praying, I'm going to pray too. That person's lost, Lord, save them. How about that? And you know what God did? He took the time you spent, but listened to the Holy Ghost and went and saved you. And now here you are praying, and you look on impossible situations. You can't see the answer. And the Holy Ghost says, Lord, I know the answer. Lord, I want you to do this because this will be the answer. And He'll take that situation and do that thing because that's holy praying. See, this business about the devil's so worried when the weakest saint of God prays, that ain't what he's worried about. He sees the time you spend praying, and He hears the sins you confessing, and He knows He can't do nothing about that because of the blood of Jesus. But what really bothers Him, He knows who else is praying while you praying. I've heard people say, well, I only pray a few minutes a day, and that's your problem right there. You don't pray. These people talking about, well, we got a great church, and we got a great pastor. We'd have even greater church and greater pastor if you'd pray. Right. So when should you pray? When God tells you to. How long should I pray? Till He's done. So when will that be? I don't know. You've got to ask Him. I ain't God. I just know this. When I get time to pray and I'm praying and I set my time apart to pray and I'm praying there, I know this. I pray till He's done because I've learned He may be working on something I'm not seeing. And you'll find this out. While you praying, God will give you things He'll never give to nobody else. He'll give you direction you ask for. He'll help you with the struggles in your life, or He'll give you the peace just to endure what's going on around you. Love, joy, peace, M3, that's all inward. God will give you that. So what will He do to everybody else? I don't know, but I know what He'll do to you. I know what He does when you praying, and when you praying in the Holy Ghost, that's praying in the Holy Ghost. Don't waste your time, listen, don't waste your time reading a story, one verse of Scripture, and Father, help us out today in Jesus' name. And if we've committed sins, Lord, forgive. Name them things off. If you have trouble finding out what they are, ask Him, say, Lord, if I got sin in my life, point it out to me. You may be there for about an hour, but He'll take care of it. Lord, I need direction for my life. What do I need to do? It may take you a few days, maybe a month or two to get it, maybe a year to get it, but He'll show you the direction. Lord, I want to pray for such and such. They're not right with you. That's all you need to say. He'll take it from there. Whether you think they lost or saved, He knows where they are, and He'll go after them and do what needs to be done. And that's the problem, people. They're trying to tell God what to do. You need to submit to Him. Let Him tell you what to do.
Right.
He can do that thing. What He wants you to spend time with Him, get the job done.
Amen.
The problem people have today is they so used to running things, they want to run heaven, and they can't even run their own life.
Yeah.
God can take care of you. He's been taking care of human beings since the first one was born. He's been guiding people through the Holy Ghost since day one. When everybody comes to Him and says, Lord, I want you to do it. He says, okay, I'll do it. I'll gladly take care of it. Lord, what about my enemies? Oh, no problem. I'm making me footstool. Lord, what about this guy over here? Don't worry about him. You look up here. God will take care of you. Amen. He wants to take care of you, and he wants you to be holy in your praying. You take care of these areas, God will take care of the holy part, and he'll work in you what he won't give to you. He'll work it into you. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father.